Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is Lean Keys Real Talk. I have no idea what number episode this is, but we don't even care at this point. It is what it is. What up, Lee? How we doing?
Oh, man. What up, boy? I'm good, man. Just hanging in there. You know, day Wednesday, hump day. You know, so it's almost over. My schedule actually breaked up pretty well. Tomorrow, work from home. Friday, I'm off. And then I took Monday and Tuesday off. Then Veterans Day is Wednesday. So, yeah, I'm going to have a nice little weekend, man. A nice extended weekend. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, you said Veterans Day is on Monday?
Next Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you work at the Veteran Services, right?
Yeah, I work for the Veterans Affairs.
Oh, okay, my bad. So yeah, I mean it's good. I was just saying that to one of my coworkers today. You know, it's hump day, and Thursday to me always. Thursday and Friday have the same vibe. Mondays and Tuesdays usually feel the same. I was thinking that to myself this morning. I said Monday and Tuesday are pretty much part one and part two of the same day. Thursday and Friday are pretty much part one and part two of the same day. To me, Wednesday, we're in the cross. So, hey, we almost made it.
The funny part is you say that, right? I know this girl I know, she called Monday, she says Monday is hate one and Tuesday is hate two.
Hey, she's right. She's right.
Yeah. So
Monday and Tuesday is the same vibe. It's the same vibe. Like Oh, yeah, we're getting to them. We're definitely getting to them. To be honest, I'm going to just come right out and say it. Today was probably the worst day I've had in months. Today was probably the worst day I've had in months. And I can't think of a day that was worse than today. So I'm going to just say the worst day in recent memory. Just a tough day at work. Today felt very much like, the events that happened today felt very much like things that tend to happen on Monday mornings when everything just keeps going wrong and again and again and again. And in a big way, too. Things going wrong in big ways, too. But, today was a pretty god-awful day. But, one of the big highlights is that I'm on our show right now. We're on our show right now. And we're about to break it down, that's something that is going to turn this day around for me, and I know that. So here we are, we're getting to it. There's a ton of stuff to talk about. We're definitely going to have, actually, we're not going to have, we do have a big announcement for our listeners and our community right now, actually. We have a new addition to our show. I was saying that, actually, Q right there. Okay, so that's there when it's needed. So we do have a new addition to our show. I feel like this was already an addition. It was already there. But we just had to make this official. We have been talking about, we have talked a little bit about in our past couple of shows, wanting to change things going into the new year, possibly and most likely moving over to a new platform in the new year. We're still going to work out some details about that, and just some like structural changes and format changes and just changes to the way our show is run, just to make it a better experience for the listener and a better experience for us, conducting the show. So we'd like to add on, we'd like to formally announce that we're adding on another host to our show, our good friend Evan. He's been on many of our shows already, and he's already been a great addition to our show for a long time. But he was, as a guest on our show, was a great addition and is now an official host of our show. I believe he's in the queue now. I believe he's on with us right now. Evan, can you hear me? Not sure if he's AFK or what that is, but we'll hear something from Evan pretty soon. But yeah, I just wanted to formally announce that I believe his ad on Twitter is at Evan317. I believe it's at Evan317. That was his at last time I checked. There was for a while there I couldn't find his at on Twitter, so I thought he changed his name, but I'm like 90% sure it's at Evan317. For anybody who's listening, anybody who listens to hear this episode, go and follow Evan on Twitter. I would say he's my favorite MMA Twitter go-to, you know, for MMA Twitter things. So I think that's somebody you should all follow, at Evan317 on Twitter. He's a new addition to our show and now an official host, and we are very happy to have him on with us. Evan, can you hear me now? Actually, I know you can hear me, but I don't know if he has his mic on mute or what. But Lee, would you want to say a couple words about this new addition to our show?
Yeah, man. Yes, his Twitter handle is at Evan317. And, you know, just to piggyback what you said, man, you know, we welcome Evan as a full-time co-host on our show. You know, he's been a contributor to our shows in the past. I want to say he's probably co-hosted. I know he co-hosted with me one time before. I think, you know, we and him did a preview show or something, and he was very good on that. And it was kind of like last minute. So he was gracious enough to jump on that. And, you know, it's cool when you forge these type of relationships, whereas, you know, we're not just Twitter friends. We're actually kind of sort of business partners now, because I look at our show as something that has our name on it. So basically it's a reflection of me and you. And I'm very happy to welcome Evan into the fold. He's going to be great. He'll come out of his shell, you know, the more comfortable he get. You know, I try to bring it out on him every once in a while. But, you know, I'm thrilled to have him on as part of the team. Looking to, definitely pleased by what he brings to the table. And like he said, once we move on new platform, you know, just be expecting bigger and better things out of us too, and Evan as well. And our show is just going to get better. And welcome to the team, Evan. Keep up the good work, and bring that fire every week, man.
Yeah, he's here somewhere. he might be having mic issues. Evan's here somewhere, but we'll run that back. We'll get a statement from him in a few minutes. But for right now, we can start getting into some of this stuff. You know, this past weekend, we had Anderson Silva's last fight in the UFC, or his last fight probably anywhere. Maybe his last fight. Hopefully his last fight. I hope is his last fight.
I do too.
We had a couple really good boxing events. I watched another great boxing event this weekend. I saw Tank Davis. Gervonta Tank Davis fought, I think his name was Leo Santa Cruz.
Leo Santa Cruz.
Yeah, he fought this Leo Santa Cruz. I want to say he was 30-something and 1. Well, maybe 37-1. 37-1-1, 39-1-1, something like that. And Gervonta Davis improved his record to 24-0 now with, I want to say it was a 7th round knockout. And that knockout was Man.
Hellacious.
Man. That knockout, that blew my mind. Like, I was watching it with a couple of my boys, and we were shocked. Everybody in the room was like, oh, because it was like, in that moment in the fight, it was like Santa Cruz was just, he was throwing a lot of volume, and I feel like he was landing some shots. He was landing some good shots, at least from what I, from my perspective. And I was looking at Gervonta Davis. I said, all right, he's taking some punishment here. I thought he was taking some punishment. I was like, Santa Cruz is landing some good shots. And then it was like, all of a sudden, he was out. He was out.
Yeah.
He hit the canvas, and he was gone. I was like, oh, my goodness. What just happened? Hey, Lee, you got to tell us, what was that? What happened to the man? He was just gone all of a sudden.
If you watch the fight, he was setting that uppercut up from the first round. He had the uppercut set up from round one to counter what Santa Cruz was doing. And, man, because he was uppercutting him to the body. He was setting up the uppercut to the face, but he couldn't get it clean. But when he fainted, and then Santa Cruz had threw that little short punch and left himself open, it was lights out, man. And when he hit him, and especially when they showed it in slow-mo, it was just like, damn. But I was just glad Santa Cruz got up. I was just glad Santa Cruz got up, man, because he was motionless probably for about 2 minutes, maybe three, if not longer. So, but you know, they say in boxing, man, the punches you don't see are the ones that normally catch you. And Santa Cruz did not see that punch coming. And Gervonta caught him, and he caught him flush. And it was just like night. And then the way he fell, I was kind of worried that he may have, like, possibly messed his knee up. But, you know, they said he didn't have any knee damage or nothing. So, but it was a good fight. It was a coming out party for Tank. But my only problem with Tank is who promotes him. And I think that may be his biggest probably issue in the sport.
I see Evan is back in the queue now. Evan, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
Yeah,
so he's here. So I don't know if you had heard it, but we had just formally announced that you are now an official host of Lee and Keys Real Talk.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had heard us, you know, both
yes,
kind of
heard
speak our piece on that.
I apologize that for whatever reason my headphones were not working or my microphone wasn't working. But first and foremost, I want to thank you guys for this opportunity. You know, I have great feelings that we're going to do big things moving, you know, going forward
Evan,
the next year.
Evan, there's a lot of feedback. Evan, sorry to interrupt you. There's a lot of feedback on your mic.
Hold on.
Yeah, it sounds like you're underwater.
No, I'm standing in my room. I'm not sure what that is. I swear to you.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in the ocean.
Keys, just mute me. It might be me and see whether or not it's me. Because I'm in my...
Evan.
Yep.
Okay, so that actually might have been Lee. So Lee was the one that's in the ocean. So Lee's in the ocean right now.
There you go.
He's sailing back. So as he's sailing back, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. Like I said, I appreciate the opportunity. You know, I'm very excited for the big things, you know, we're going to do on the show. Just can't wait for the next year. The next year is going to be, you know, everyone comes out with their New Year's resolutions. And I think 2021 is going to be a big year for us, you know, for MMA. And I just can't wait. I'm just really appreciative of the fact that, you know, you guys believe in my MMA opinion and just can't wait to work with you guys.
Oh yeah, bro. You know, it's gonna be good. I'm excited to have you on. I think we're both. Well, actually, I know we're both excited to have you on, and happy to have you on. And like, you know, like I was saying before, I'll say it again. And you know, we both agreed on this, is that you were already, you know, you have been a guest on our show many times, and you have already been a great addition to our show, even as a guest. You have already been a great addition to our show, even just coming on as a guest before, but and will, you know, be in, and will still be, you know, a great addition to our show as an official host, and an even better addition being that you're now an official host. So that makes us, you know, that's a huge improvement to our show, and we're very happy to have you and somebody who cares about the content and loves talking about the content and the sport and wants to bring, you know, that kind of good energy to our show. So I'm definitely appreciative of you and having you on. And yeah, I think it's going to be great. You know, the rest of 2020, we're going to kill it here. And in 2021, we're going to, you know, between now and January, we're going to be talking about some different possibilities and different changes we want to make to our show. And I'll talk about that with you. And, you know, me and Lee will talk about that, and we'll all talk about that. And 2021, we'll be, you know, seeing some new horizons, you know, new platform. Definitely want to move over to a new platform, and that'll be happening, and some other, you know, structural changes will be happening, and it's going to be good, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, man. Like I was saying, man, welcome. Keep up the good work. I'm gonna still try to bring that pizzazz out you every once in a while. But, you know, 2020, you know, people say it's been a bad year, but, you know, I kind of like to look on the positive side. I think as far as our show has gotten better in 2020. I think we have gotten better as far as our knowledge, and you have helped us get better, and hopefully we help you get better. And you know, next year, man, we're gonna keep it going, man. We're gonna keep the momentum rolling. Probably have our 200th show next year. Well, most likely we'll have our 200th show next year. So, hey, let's just keep it rolling, man. And welcome to the team, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Man, I think I got a tear in my eye right now. I'm emotional. I'm emotional right now.
Man.
Chill.
I'm gonna let Keys get it together, and I'm gonna finish my thought about Devontae Davis. I think the only thing that can hold Devontae back is he's promoted by Floyd Mayweather. And my thing with Floyd Mayweather is his career, he never fought top guys when they were in their prime or when it was a fight that needed to be made. He always, to me, took the easy way out, and he picked his own fights. And I'm just skeptical that he's going to do the same thing with Javante. And if he does the same thing with Devontae, that means we probably won't see Javante versus Lomachenko. We probably won't see Javante versus Lopez. So, man, it's just hopefully Floyd will make the fights for Javante that will make Javante a household name instead of trying to protect him like he did his own career. And that's my only issue that I have with Javante at this point. He has the skills. He showed that he could rally, because I thought Santa Cruz was actually winning that fight, but the judges' scorecard saying that it was 48-47 Javante, which I was kind of shocked about. But who cares? You know, he got the knockout win, and I'm just looking for bigger and better things for Tank Davis coming in the future.
Oh yeah, I mean it's so. I want to jump into this. So Evan, I have a question. Let me transition here real quick. So I mentioned Anderson Silva because we're talking about this past weekend's fights, and now there's all different events we were talking about. Yeah, we were, you know, earlier we were talking about Anderson Silva and, you know, what I hope was his last fight against Uriah Hall. I believe you're a big Uriah Hall fan. I could be wrong.
Yes,
but
I am.
I think you've sung his praises before.
Yes, sir.
So Uriah Hall, I guess I'll ask, what did you think about Uriah Hall's performance, point A, point B? Anderson Silva, should that be his last fight? Was that his last fight? What did you think? How did he look?
You guys can hear me, right? Just making sure.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
All right, good. All right. Uriah Hall, to me, I truly believe that he should have been champion already. He's got the skill set. He's got the, you know, the athleticism, the body. He's just got everything that you would need to be a champion besides the mental gain, like the mentality of a fighter. Because, you know, you look at him on the Ultimate Fighter. He was the star of that show. He gained so much praise, so much hype, and he got that spectacular spinning kick knockout. And I think how much that affected him has, you know, affected his performances. But when it comes to the fight against Anderson Silva, you know, it's been known he's a very, I want to say gun shy, but I think that's probably a fair word to say. He wants to find that money shot, just kind of that one big knockout, like, for, you know, example, the Giger Mousasi fight. He was getting beat up in the first round, second round comes out, spinning back kick, and, you know, later on gets the finish. When it comes to the Anderson Silva fight, he's very patient, very hesitant. But I also, if you notice at the end, after he finished Silva, he went over to him and he kept saying, "I'm sorry." And he didn't want to do that. So, like, that's where, like, I think the performance was just a little rough in the beginning. I think he realized, like, "Oh, I'm fighting Anderson Silva. This might be his last fight. I don't want to be the guy that takes that away from him and steals his, you know, ride off into the sunset moment." But I think Uriah Hall can fight top 10 guys, even top 5 guys, if he just gets the mental game under. He's got the skill set. He's got the team behind him. Just got to get the mental game. As far as Anderson Silva goes, I hope that was his last fight. I don't think he should be fighting anymore. No disrespect to him. Obviously, he looked great in the beginning. But, you know, fighting someone like Hall, who's very hesitant, very patient, looking for that one shot, you're not going to get that against, like, these younger, up-and-coming scrappers. You know, like, other guys are going to come at him and want to hurt him, and I don't want to see that for Silva. So I hope that's his last fight, and I hope no promotions try to call him Bellator.
Yeah, if Bellator... Yeah, no. Yeah. That'll be a no for me, Doug.
They'll try. They did it with Chael. They will try.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. And then that'll be... The sad part is, if he goes over there, he'll probably be their biggest star.
Oh, without a doubt.
And that's kind of sad.
It is. It's heartbreaking that they'll do that to him. But that's Bellator. They're banking off, you know, older, former UFC fighters.
But, you know, I definitely agree with you that Silva looked, to me, I was like, wow, he looks really good. Like, in the first, you know, 3 rounds of the fight, I said, wow, like, Silva looks, you know, they're saying he's 45, he looks 35. They're saying he's 45. He looks 35. You know, that's what I was saying out loud. And then, you know, he got, you know, Uriah got the finish, and I said, wow. You know, it was very. I didn't like seeing that. You know, it is what it is. You know, it's part of the game. But at the same time, it was, you know, if you really look at it, Silva was holding on to the referee's leg, like right after the stoppage. Like, you see him there, and the ref stops it, and Silva's, like, he was holding on to the ref's leg. I don't know if he thought that was Uriah Hall's leg, or what was that situation, but, yeah, to see that, that made me think, like, okay, this guy, like, I don't want to see him, like, taking punishment like that. You know, he looked like he didn't really want to be in there. I mean, in the first 3 rounds of the fight, yeah, But when he was holding on to the ref's leg, I was like, man, like, I think this is it. Like, we got to stop this with Silva. We can't have him. What happened?
Hey, when he did that, man, I was like, oh, my God, he really out. I was like, damn. But, you know, man, it's hard to see, like, your heroes. You know, you really don't want to see them. You know, like when Muhammad Ali was fighting towards the end and you saw him in the ring against Larry Holmes, it was like, damn, man, he don't even look like himself. You don't want to see fighters like that. You don't want to see them. You always want to remember them at the peak of their game. And that's how I want to remember Anderson Silva. And at this point now, it's like maybe they can get him one more fight that, you know, maybe he can go out with a win. But they not going to give him nobody easy, man. Dana White already said that they're not going to give him nobody easy. Because, you know, man, I hope it is his last fight. But, you know, man, I kind of agree with you guys, man. I think Bellator will probably give him money that he probably can't refuse. He'll probably give him like a 3 or 5 fight deal. And we'll probably see him over there, probably fighting that light heavyweight. And, you know, we'll see what happens, man. But hopefully this is his last fight and that he can ride off in the sunset and we can remember him as one of the all-time greats and not somebody that we might look at great. But towards the end, he was just getting knocked out like every fight. I don't want to remember Anderson Silva like that.
Yeah, man, because when you really look at it, it's like he's on the 3-fight losing streak now. It's like I don't want to see him go in there, you know, against another guy, and it's like, okay, like, I mean, middleweight is a shark tank as it is. Like, there's really no, like, easy fight to put Anderson Silva in. I mean, the only fight that I'd have to really look at it to figure out a good fight for Anderson Silva. I don't even know. What I think would be like a safe fight. I don't even know, but I'd rather just see him not fight, honestly. I don't even want to try to look at it because it's middleweight has so many like dangerous guys, and I just feel like it's not a good division to be 45 years old fighting in. That's the way I see that. And I like you said, I mean, I think you mentioned Chuck Liddell and how, you know, he went on such a losing streak at the end of his career, and if you really look at it, so did, I'm pretty sure Rashad Evans did too. Rashad Evans went on a pretty bad, pretty embarrassing, pretty, you know, this was dragged out way too long type of losing streak towards the end of his career too. I think he was like a 4-fight or maybe 5-fight losing streak, something like that. And those were like bad losses. Like he was getting knocked out like a lot. And it was just like, man, come on. Like, why do they do this to all these guys, you know? But then at the same time, I mean, why do the fighters do it to themselves, you know? Some guys, like, I wish they knew when to quit, you know what I mean? And I just hope Anderson Silva looks at it and says, okay, this is it, you know what I mean? I kind of wish he retired after the Adesanya fight. That's when I thought he was going to, and I would have wanted him to retire because even with losing a decision, I think that was a good last performance. You know what I mean? He didn't get finished. He went the distance. Like, there was no need for us to see him fight Cannonier and Uriah Hall after that. Like, there was really no need to see those two fights.
Yeah, but see, I think the UFC was trying to, like, get him a fight that they thought he could win. But, you know, man, it's like you never know what's going to happen inside the octagon. So, and plus, Uriah Hall is younger, and I think he done finally found his comfort zone now. I think he got a new camp, new team, and maybe all his unlocked potential is going to finally be, you know, unleashed on the middleweight division.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, hopefully that was the last fight.
I doubt it.
Excuse me. Hopefully that was his last fight. I know I was watching MMA World earlier today, and they were saying, you know, they were putting out the medical suspensions, and they put out the medical suspension for Silva, and he has, I think, like at least 6 months medical suspension. And all I was thinking about was like, man, why are we even discussing this? Like, his medical suspension should be forever, because it should be retirement suspension. Like, that's what it should be, not 6 months. We should not be looking at this and saying, oh, when can Silva come back? Why is he coming back? You know what I mean? It's, oh, my God. But, yeah, hopefully that's it for him. The other thing is UFC 255. Did you guys know that they had both flyweight titles going at UFC 255? Are you guys aware of that?
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Did we talk about the actual fight though?
No, we're just talking about the showcase. You brought it up.
Yeah. So I was referring to it as the flyweight showcase. Because the reason why I like to say that is, and the reason why I think it's worth it is because it's not too often that we get that, and I love that when they have those, like a division, like a double header of a division. Like, you don't often see cards that are like that. I mean, like, one of the last cards I remember, they did something similar to that, where you have, you know, two high stakes fights from the same weight class. In this case, obviously, it's from the female weight version of that weight class. But, you know, for the sake of the conversation, they had Habib and McGregor, and they had Ferguson and Pettis. And that was, to me, I looked at that and I said, this is like a lightweight showcase. You got, like, you know, top guys, and then you have the title fight. In this case, you just have the female flyweight division and the male flyweight titles, you know, going back to back, and both scary champions. You know, Figueiredo's scary, and he's fighting your boy, Evan. Evan, he's fighting your boy, Alex Perez. Is that not true?
Yeah, no, it's a good fight. I like that fight. I feel bad. I know it's kind of, you know, not to be negative, but no, Alex Perez is good. He's looked good in his last few fights, and I think it's his style is going to benefit him very well against a guy like, you know, Figueiredo, who's very powerful, very, like, powerful early on, and there's not much he can't do. But again, I will always be a little glum that Brandon Moreno did not get that title shot. I think it was well deserved. But he's on the card. He's on that UFC 255 card. He's taking on Brandon Royval, which I think is an incredible fight, and most likely will be a number one contender fight unless Cody Garbrandt decides to come back down to 125.
Me personally, I never liked the Cody Garbrandt versus Davidson fight. I just thought that it wasn't warranted and Cody didn't deserve it. He was 1-3 in his last four fights, and basically he fought a guy that basically he could get off on, and I can't think of the guy's name right now.
Rafael Assuncao.
Yeah, that's right, Assuncao. And Assuncao basically had slowed down a lot in his past couple fights. So I thought Cody should have fought maybe one more fight at bantamweight, and then maybe, you know, maybe the UFC would have gave him, you know, a title shot at bantamweight. But I thought Davidson was going to beat Cody anyway, because he still didn't show he could defend the right hook. But I like this fight with Perez and Davidson. Perez really has a shot. He has to be patient. He has to circle to the left. Do not circle to the right. And try to take Figueiredo down. Nobody has tried to take him down yet. I mean, I know he's supposed to be a good wrestler and a good guy on the mat, but sometimes when you get taken down, it kind of make you double, you know, think twice. So I'm definitely looking forward to this fight, and it should be a good one. And I'm glad Moreno is on the same card. So basically, I think what the UFC is saying is the winner of these two fights will definitely be fighting probably at the top of the year for the belt. So I kind of like that fact.
Yeah, and you were saying about no one's tried to take Figueiredo down?
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah, so if we go back and look, I mean, if you look at his fight with Formiga took him down. Formiga took him down whenever he wanted to take him down. He took him down strongly. He took him down with ease, and he dominated.
Yeah, but was he taking him down just to take him down, or was he taking him down to try to do something? You know what I mean?
Well, no, I hear what you're saying. He didn't. I mean, I don't really remember the fight that too good. I just know that it was. I think Formiga won a decision. I mean, he wasn't. You know, he didn't finish him on the mat or anything.
You did a unanimous decision. It was an odd fight, let me jump in here. It was an odd fight because I think a lot of people expected, I think even Figueiredo was the favorite in that fight, I think. I think he was the favorite, and I think a lot of people expected him to get that knockout. But like you mentioned, Keith, he just got taken down at ease, and it looked like he had zero grappling, like just nothing. But then, you know, as his record shows, you know, after that loss, he came back, and it was now on a 4-fight win streak. So he figured something out, but I'm interested to see what happens. Like Lee was saying, if someone tries to take him down and, like, actually put it on him, like Bryce Mitchell did against Andre Feely. You know, not really. I know Bryce Mitchell kind of, like, took him down and kind of kept him there, and it wasn't much of, like, ground and pound, but I kind of liked what he did, how he just consistently took him down and just dragged him to the deep waters.
See, I like, even though I was not a big fan of Khabib's style, when he took people down, he was looking for the finish. It was either I'm a ground and pound you, or I'm a submit you. And that's what I think more guys need to do. Just don't take somebody down for the sake of saying you took him down 4 times in a fight. Take him down, advance your position, try to go for ground and pound or submission. So, and I think that's what guys probably going to end up having to do against Davidson, man. They're going to have to probably take him down, look to submit him, give him some ground and pound, and don't just stand up and trade with him.
Not with him. That guy hits. That guy is the Francis Ngannou of flyweight. He hits way too hard for you to stand with him. And it was proven with Benavidez. Benavidez, being a veteran, fought for the title multiple times and just could not stand with him. The power, that raw power, was too much. Because when you think about it, and for Francis, the example of Francis, everyone technically has better striking than Francis. Because you watch Francis when he fought Jairzinho Rozenstruik, he was just throwing street fight hooks and just hoping that one hit, and one did. And that's just the luck he has. He has such power in his hands that you can't fight him technically because it doesn't work. So I think more people need to take him down, work leg kicks, and just break him down piece by piece and finish him. And that's what I think Alex Perez can do. So that's why I like this fight.
Wow, Evan, that was a wow. That was a really good. That was a really good take. He said, he makes the Francis Ngannou comparison and says, you technically can't fight him. You can't fight him on it technically. You can't fight him in a technical way because he throws with such recklessly and with such reckless power. Oh, look at the analogy. Look at that strong comparison. I love it. I love it. This is first show as an official host, and he's making unbelievable takes. Unbelievable takes.
Killing the game already.
That's great. Very good analysis. Very good analysis right there of Fred Zagano. Great comparison because him and Figueroa at this time do look very similar. I mean, obviously they're not. They're very different in size. You know, Figueroa's minuscule compared to him. But I mean, they're of when you analyze them as champion and title challenger and look at type of fights they've been putting on and where they're. What their strong suit is, it's definitely a valid comparison to make. So props to that. What I want to ask you guys is, this is the big news. Okay, this is the big news. I want to just say how funny it is because I reread this and I just laughed to myself again. Lee, you put it up in the description, WTF. We put up in the description WTF next to the Izzy versus Bukovic fight. He put WTF. That is totally random though. When I saw that announcement, all right, let me. I'm talking backwards here. So they come out with the announcement. They come out with the announcement that I don't know if it's been announced officially by the UFC. Like we haven't seen like the actual. That official UFC graphic, for when a fight is actually official, but they did say that it is happening, Adesanya versus Bukovic. Well, actually, Bukovic versus Adesanya for the light heavyweight title. So, what is you guys' impressions on this? And I think we should start with Lee.
Man, first of all, I totally disagree with the matchmaking. It's like Blachowicz he just won the belt. Why can't he have a true title defense against a true 205er? He could wait to Santos and the Glover fight, the winner of that fight, or, they could get him another 205er. But my thing is, what's the purpose behind this fight, man? There is no rhyme or reason to book this fight. Izzy has the Whitaker fight, even though Whitaker says he wants to take a little bit of time off to because he's about to have a baby. Why not book Izzy against Darren Till? That's a fight I wouldn't mind seeing. Why not, his toughest fight to date was against Kevin Gastelum. Why not book the rematch? Man, there's a lot of things they could have did except this dumbass fight that they made up just to make Izzy a double champ. But the thing is, every time you undermate Jan Blachowicz, he comes out and does something to make you say this guy is a force to be reckoned with. And I just don't know, man. That's why I put WTF after this, because it just makes no sense to me, none whatsoever.
So, I'm going to chime in here, because I'm dying to get this off. So, I don't really agree with the matchmaking either, because it is totally random to me. This fight is totally random, and I don't really like it for either guy because I feel like it's – okay, so point A, I mean, the fight itself could be entertaining, obviously. I feel like obviously it could be entertaining. These are two guys who mainly like to stand and bang. Izzy is a kickboxer, but Bukovic pretty much is a boxer. Or he might be kickboxing, I'm not sure. But he likes to – he knocks guys out. He punches guys, and that's that's a stylistic fight, that's a stylistic match, for both guys to have a big moment. But my issue is this: so like you said, you have Thiago Santos rematch. You have these other fights, you know, for Bukovic. I wanted to see the Thiago Santos rematch, okay, or have him versus the winner of, you know, this weekend's Santos and Teixeira fight. Have him fight the winner of that. That was what I wanted to see for Bukovic. And I don't like the fact that he wins the belt and now he's being put into a matchup that I feel like is I feel like the UFC is kind of setting him up, you know what I mean? And I just don't like that because it's when the fight happens, like you said, Bukovic, we can't, me and Lee don't count Bukovic out anymore because I know I have, and I think we both have at some point in time doubted Bukovic one too many times, and he always shows up when you don't expect him. Like when he is the underdog, which is every fight that he has, he destroys people, and he doesn't even just destroy them and come out in a flashy. It's a flashy knockout, but it's he destroys them in a calculated way. You know, he kind of takes his time destroying people. But the thing is I feel like this is a losable fight for Vukovic, and that kind of bothers me. And I'm not saying that I'm not picking him. I'm not making any picks. But I just don't like the fact that they're putting him in position. I feel like they just want to see Izzy become a double champ, and they want to see Izzy. They want to have the storyline of, oh, Adesanya now holds John Jones's belt. I feel like that's what the UFC, that's how they're looking at it. And it just to like hype that feud. And it really, the fight, there's nothing in it for Bukovic. I feel like if he even wins that fight, what are you going to say? Oh, he beat a middleweight. You know, the same thing guys were just saying when Jones was fighting, you know, Anthony Smith and Thiago Santos and these guys, they were saying, oh, he's just beating, you know, former middleweights. So what are they going to say if Bukovic beats him? Oh, he was way bigger than him. He's just a middleweight, you know, that doesn't mean anything. He was supposed to beat him. You know, Adesanya is way smaller. He's way, you know, more skinny and lanky, you know, all this stuff. And I just feel like it's really like a lose-lose fight for Bukovic. That's why I say it's a losable fight. Not because I think he'll lose. I'm saying he could lose. Now, I don't think it's an easy fight for him, but at the same time, even if he wins, I feel like it's going to look like a loss because in the records, they're going to say, oh, well, he was supposed to win and all this. So I don't like that. And for Adesanya, I don't like the fact that it seems to me that we didn't address the elephant in the room. Lee, I think you'll appreciate this. Can we talk about the fact, and Evan, feel free to chime in right after I say this. I think you will anyways, but feel free. Can we address the elephant in the room? The fact that Adesanya waited for Jones to move up to heavyweight to move up to light heavyweight. Man, what the hell is that? What is that bogus? He was just saying that he had more work to do at middleweight, so he wouldn't move up to light heavyweight to fight John Jones. He said John Jones had to move down to 185 to fight him. That was the only way. Now, right, you're telling me it's coincidental that right when John Jones announces he's moving to heavyweight, all of a sudden Adesanya moves up to light heavyweight to challenge for the belt? Man, come on. I'm calling bogus on that. That is bogus.
Go ahead, Evan.
Big eye contact.
I like that you said that. I didn't even pick up on that initially, that, you know, immediately they make Izzy fight for the 205 belt right after Jones leaves and when it's Jan. Because not for nothing, but I guarantee if Reyes won the belt, they wouldn't have been doing this fight right now. I just don't think the UFC likes Jan as their champion. Probably not, you know, he's pretty calm, cool, collected guy, not very marketable in the sense of, you know, a guy like Adesanya. So I can understand why they're trying to, you know, possibly, you know, take the belt away, give it to someone more marketable, and it only just adds more value to Adesanya. And as you said, Keys, it brings back the Jones fight. And by God, if that happens soon, because, yeah, if Izzy wins the belt, then it's Jones trying to get his belt back against Izzy, and that's like that is just like the ultimate taunt. Like, it's such good promotion by the UFC. Like, it's such an evil plan, but it's just, it's good because we know we're all going to watch. I don't like the fight. I have to want to be open with that. I don't like the fact that Izzy's going up to 205. Granted, I understand there's not many options for him at middleweight with people who are on win streaks. Like, you have Whitaker. He doesn't want to fight right now. He wants to, you know, have his, you know, he's got a newborn on the way. He just, you know, what's it called? Just beat Costa. Romero is, who knows what Romero's doing. Jared Cannonier is just lost. Calvin Gastelum hasn't won a fight in like three fights. So there's not many people for him yet, but I don't like the 205 fight, but I understand why they're doing it.
Man, Keys, I didn't even think about the fact that Izzy is fighting for the light heavyweight belt and Jones is at heavyweight. I didn't even think about that. I just feel that, kind of like what you guys are saying, the UFC
just don't respect
Jan as a champ. They don't respect Jan as a champ. And I'm with Evan on this one. If Reyes would have won, there's no way they would have put Izzy in there with Reyes. So that being said, maybe we're looking at this the wrong way, or maybe we're looking at it the right way. Izzy and John have always said that they're going to fight each other in 2021. So maybe this is the stepping stone for Izzy to fight John, and, you know, by testing himself for the 205 maybe now to see how he carries the weight. But it still makes no sense. You know, they could have did that maybe the second quarter of 2021. You could have did that in the second quarter of 2021. But, you know, man, it's like what I tweeted out when I first heard about this. The UFC is all about getting eyes on their product, man. And eyes on their product mean they're catering to the casual fan and not the hardcore fan. The casual fan loves this fight. Because guess what? Izzy is their guy. He's the guy that's very charismatic. He's very entertaining. He talks a lot of shit. And casual fans love him. Casual fans don't love Jan. So, you know, that's why I said the matchmaking is trash. And I think people better not sleep on Jan Blachowicz in this fight, man. He's going to do what he do. He's going to come out and be deliberate in his game plan. He's not going to rush. And I wouldn't count him out in this. Actually, I'm going to go on the record now and say that he's going to beat Izzy. I'm going to go on the record right now.
Lee's coming straight out with the predictions. He ain't wasting any time.
Yep.
I mean, but you're right, though. You're right, because Blachowicz, as long as Blachowicz sticks to his guns and does not pull something like he did when he fought Thiago, I think the fight is his. I don't think there's really anything Adesanya can do with a guy like that, because Blachowicz, as long as he does not rush and go away from his game plan, I don't think there's much that Adesanya can do with a man like that, because Adesanya, you know, he's a counterpuncher, and he feeds off of guys coming to him, you know, and making it a fight where he can just respond to what you're fighting emotionally. He can respond to guys like that and counter guys like that. But Blachowicz, you know, is usually – he wants to sit back and kind of wait and pick his shot. So, you know, we'll see. But all right, so this weekend, I think we got a few minutes left. That fight is completely random. Adesanya and And Bukovic, completely random. You know, he pretty much moved right as John Jones left the division. He moved up. So that to me is that's kind of like kind of soft to me. But either way, this weekend, I need the predictions. We need to do predictions. We have Thiago Santos, who we were just talking about, versus Glover Teixeira. And it's so weird that we're talking about that fight because Teixeira, you know, a lot of us thought he was kind of on his way out. And then all of a sudden now he's kind of like having a resurgence. Who do you guys have in that fight? Evan, you want to go first?
Who did you say real fast? I apologize. I was trying to read the card for this weekend.
We're saying Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira. Who do you have in that fight?
Right. Personally, I think Santos wins everywhere. I just think he's, even though he's the middleweight coming up, he just looks like just a naturally big dude. And you look at him at 205 and you wonder why he ever even bothered cutting to 185. With that being said, like you said, Glover's, you know, been on kind of a resurgence. I think it's kind of like Alistair Overeem, you know, one more run at the title. You know, it's kind of a brand new division in the sense that Jones is gone. You know, four-fight win streak. Solid wins. Not for nothing. Like, they're not, like, the most impressive wins, but nonetheless, it is a four-fight win streak. My prediction, though, I believe Thiago Santos is coming for that belt, and he ain't stopping until he gets it. I believe the time off, just the time off and getting better, you know, is going to do wonders for him. And I honestly think he's going to come out and put a statement on Glover. And I see a first or second round, even a possibly a third round knockout for Santos. I don't see this fight going to a decision, but I could see it being dragged out a bit, but I could also see it ending pretty quickly, you know, as like Rumble Johnson versus Glover. So
who knows?
I'm going Thiago Santos by knockout. Just can't say the round.
Actually, I've definitely been thoroughly impressed with Glover Teixeira in his last couple fights. It seemed like he's switched up his game a little bit. He's become a little bit more technical instead of being a guy that goes in and balls to the wall, do whatever it takes to get the win. Seems like he's been a lot more technical. It seems like he's picking his spots. He's they say with age comes wisdom, and I think maybe he's learned from a couple of his past fights that, you know, let me slow it down, put together a game plan, stick to the game plan, maximize what I do best, and see whether or not that earns me wins. And I think that's been earning him wins here lately. I think the longer the fight goes on, the more it will favor Glover. But I'm kind of with Evan. I think Santos wants to come out and show everybody that I'm the guy that beat John Jones on zero legs, la, 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 la. So that being said, I'm going to go with Santos. I don't think he knocks – he maybe can knock Glover out, but I don't think he does. I think he wins by unanimous decision, probably 4-1 or 3-2. And hopefully we'll get – well, we ain't going to get the Jan. We get the Jan versus Santos rematch. So I'm going with Santos to win via unanimous decision against a very game Glover Teixeira. Keith?
Oh, my bad. My thing was muted. I was over here giving my prediction and I had my mic muted. My bad. So I'm going with the man. I was already halfway in my prediction. So I'm going complete opposite as you. I'm going unanimous decision for Glover Teixeira to win. I think it's a 5-round fight. So, yeah, 5 rounds. I mean, he looked great versus Anthony Smith. And I'm still suspect about Thiago Santos's leg. And I really don't know how he's going to look after that. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, he probably will look good. But I think Glover Teixeira has been the more complete fighter here lately. And I think we will see that. So Gaga Glover by unanimous decision.
All right.
That pretty much closes us out. I mean, we hit so many topics tonight. It was Evan's first show as an official host. Definitely dope to have you. Appreciate having you on officially with us. Thank you for bringing, you know, that type of energy to the show. And, yeah, that's all I got. Lee, your floor is yours.
Evan, you got any last words, man?
Yeah, no, just wanted to say thank you again. You know, a million thank yous for this opportunity to be here to, you know, let everyone kind of see how much I truly put into MMA. You know, I truly believe this is my absolute passion in life, and I'm just really blessed and glad that I can, you know, show, you know, my knowledge on a platform like this, especially with you guys. So just very appreciative. You know, thank you guys for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed the show, and can't wait for the next one. Can't wait for the fight this weekend, and yeah, thank you.
Hey, Evan, how old are you, man?
23.
God damn, both of y'all are combined, and I think I'm older than both of y'all. Damn. Okay, well, you know, it is what it is. Hey, man, once again, Evan, welcome to the show. To my man, Keys, get that stuff off your hands. You know, because you're probably going to have to get up and go back at it tomorrow. But look, man.
No, I'm picking at it right now.
But, you know, man, it's always fun to get on this show, man. Let's talk MMA, UFC, and all that good stuff. But, man, I'm so proud to have Evan on as part of the team. You know, of course, you know, me and my boy Keys, we go back a long ways. I guess it's episode 165. But, you know, as long as we got UFC, man, and actually, well, my man Keys picking up boxing now, we might have to start talking a little bit more boxing. So that's kind of excited. I'm kind of excited about that. But like I always say, man, everybody take care of each other. Wear your mask, practice social distancing. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest each and every day. Ride this motherfucker till the wheels fall off. I don't like to cuss, but I just felt like I need to get it off my chest tonight. Love. Tell somebody you love them, man. If you got a petty beef with somebody, y'all ain't getting along, man. Pick up the phone and bury the hatchet, man. Extend the hand. And laugh. Have one good laugh every day, man. Today I went in the office. I go in the office about 2 or 3 days a week. And I got this older gentleman that worked with me. I call him Mr. Mike, you know, because he's older than me. I think he's old enough to be my dad. Probably he might not be that old, but, you know, man, Mr. Mike sits over his desk and he talks to himself all day. But today, he was talking to himself and then replying to himself, talking to himself. I was like, man, that made my day today. But everybody have a good evening. Have a great weekend. Take care. And as always, ending the show with a